Good morning, everyone. How's everybody this morning? How's your week? Good? All right. This morning, we're going to talk about hopelessness and some about depression, anxiety. Why does this happen? The other day, I was listening to the radio, and there is a major increase in suicide in Canada. Right now, the main cause is the drug carfentanil. And down in Vancouver on the Lower Mainland, it is a major, major problem. Now, carfentanil is a drug that is used to tranquilize elephants. So you can imagine that even a small dose of this drug that is meant to tranquilize a 10,000-pound animal, what that's going to do to a human being. So a few months ago, it was the drug oxycodone. Before that, heroin, crack cocaine, ecstasy, even gasoline fumes. You know, we hear of people drinking excessively to the point of destroying their livers. So now the disturbing part is, well, it's all disturbing, really. But more to the point is that the majority of these suicides are amongst teenagers and young adults. That's true. It's a statistic. So what is causing all of this tragedy? Is it because of bullying at school? Bullying online? Is it because of a broken home? What has caused all of this desperation and hopelessness in our young people, that they see no other way out other than to take their lives before they have even been lived? I believe that this hopelessness that they feel, that the cause of all this grief and tragedy, the hopelessness is born out of a sense of not belonging, not being loved, a feeling of alienation from everyone around them. They become depressed. They feel anxiety. They feel shame. They feel anger and resentment towards the world. I myself was once depressed. I was very bitter. I was full of rage, full of resentment and fear. I lashed out at everyone who tried to get close to me. I even considered taking my own life. But one day I woke up and realized that really my feelings of depression and anxiety were feelings of self-pity because I wasn't getting what I wanted. I wasn't getting the recognition. I wasn't getting something that I wanted. So, however, realizing this fact, I continued to be destructive to myself. I drank in some vain attempt to escape reality, to escape pain, to escape being bullied relentlessly, growing up in an abusive home. After some time, I even turned to drugs, pornography. I became more of an enemy to myself than the bullies were to me. I started to hate myself. And one winter, when I was about 19 years old, I drove my car off the road at speed, trying to take my life. I couldn't do it. I chickened out, thank goodness. And I entered the ditch on a much softer angle, and the car just kind of stopped, and no harm done. So when everyone asked, oh, what happened? Of course, I lied. I blamed it on black ice. I didn't tell anyone the truth. So hopelessness. In some cases, it's a case of ignorance. It's a byproduct of sin. I came to this conclusion very soon after coming here. I pretty much single-handedly torn my marriage apart. That day I became aware of a better way, the most excellent way, as the Apostle Paul put it. I became aware of who our hope is found in. Hope in who, you might ask? The hope found in the name of Jesus Christ. The hope found in the free gift of grace from God through our faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul also became aware of this life-giving and life-saving grace bestowed upon all who believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. He became fully aware when Ananias went to pray with him on the road to Damascus. This is when Paul became an apostle. So later on in Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul attempts to persuade the Colossians away from their heresy. They intentionally lead people away from the gospel of life to the gospel of man, which in today's world equates to wisdom on self-reliance, self-healing, I think, therefore I am, all of which eliminate the need for Christ, for the need of a Savior. I think that I am saved, therefore I am. Not, I know that I am saved, therefore I am. This line of thought can only lead to hurt, the destruction of self. And this one will not seek help or advice because they're relying on self. In this line of thought, all wisdom from the Holy Spirit is abandoned. One becomes reliant on worldly knowledge, which we all know is folly, which gives way to depravity. One becomes totally separated from God. They have denied the gift of free grace, denied the presence of Christ, which is the denial of salvation, redemption, and true reconciliation. And this one gives themselves over to the depravity of the world and their sinful nature, a full investment in sin. We now have the presence of guilt and shame and fear. Anger is born. The enemy has taken hold. And behold, hopelessness and despair. This is a pretty grim picture, but sadly, it's true. Now, don't get me wrong. There are circumstances beyond our control that lead to a depressed or anxious state, such as a genetic disorder or any other predisposition such as that. But let's talk more in general terms. So Paul, in Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23, says this. Paul says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." In our depression, anxiety, in our anger, and our bitterness, we live out the will of our sinful natures. We feel shame and guilt. We are enemies of God. But Paul says that we were once alienated, implying that we are no longer alienated. Through our faith in Christ, by our calling out to him who saves, we receive the gift of free grace from the Father. We are reconciled back to him, holy and blameless, free from the grips of guilt and shame. Anxiety disappears, depression washed away, without blemish and free from accusation. We are loved, cherished, justified, redeemed, and sanctified. We are a new creation in Christ. He goes on to say that if we stand firm in our newfound faith, that if we follow the gospel, we have a new hope. A hope that does not disappoint. The hope that is eternal in Christ. Paul goes a step further in proving that in this new hope, we have purpose and meaning. We become disciples. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The Great Commission here echoed. To spread the good news of the gospel. The good news we ourselves are a living witness and testimony to. Our purpose and meaning in life here defined. That call to be a fisher of men. In Psalms 103, verses 1 to 5, David echoes that same hope. He himself clung to in times of trial and hardship, times of longing, temptation, times of feeling alienated and depressed. David says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your disease, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, the benefits of the Lord, his promise to never leave us, where we are never alone, never alienated, the benefit of his mercy. He forgives us all of our sins. The slate is wiped clean. We are made new. The benefit of a healed soul from disease of sin. The benefit of unending love. He shows compassion when we fall down. He lovingly and gracefully picks us back up and gives us another chance. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God fulfills our longing to belong, to be loved, to have purpose and meaning. He calls us to set our sights on heavenly things where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Our souls, our hearts, we will soar on wings like eagles. Praise the Lord, for he has made all things new. We trespassed against him in our sin. We broke his heart, yet he mercifully and full of grace forgives us. He is mighty to save. He has restored us in his image through his Son. God has reconciled us back to himself. He has restored our pitiful, helpless state back to everlasting glory. He has made us holy. We have been given new hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, Paul says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So let us not rely on self for healing, redemption, reconciliation, or salvation. Let us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Let us come to rely on God for these things. Let us rejoice in our sufferings because they help us to become more reliant on God. These sufferings bring us to the place where we will give more of our souls to him. For his purposes, we want to come to this place because we know that our ways, our self-reliant ways, lead us back to sin. They lead us back to a spiritual death. Let us submit to Christ. Let us live our lives for him, and through him receive God's grace and eternal hope. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 9. Here the Apostle Paul notes our condition as separated from God, defiant even in our sinful nature, given over to that very nature, full of lust, greed, envy, slander, and every kind of malice. But the free gift of grace from God, received by us through faith in Christ, we are delivered from ourselves and our sinful nature into God's grace. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 9. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So you see, before we came to know our most kind and loving Savior, we were dead in our sinful nature, much like the people of Ephesus. We were dead in our anxiety and our depression. We sought after healing and hope in the ways of this world. We were slaves to satisfying the desires of the flesh. We were separated from God in our disobedience. But God, at just the right moment, while we were still sinners, still by nature children of wrath, gave us a way out. He gave us the one who would show us the most excellent way. God sent us his one and only Son to die for our sins. Jesus went to the cross to bridge the gap that we made between ourselves and God. And through Jesus, we receive the free gift of grace by which we are saved. Jesus is the only way to hope. Hope for the future. It is through him that we are saved. Not by anything that we do, not by anything that we say, nor by any worldly work. By no heathen or pagan religion, by no law of man, by no self-gratification. It is only through our faith in Christ that we are saved. It is only through Christ we receive God's grace and mercy. For it is by grace that you have been saved. How much further will we delve into the enemy's lair before we come to the place of grace? How much more will we torture ourselves trying to please men? How much longer will we seek out only that which will destroy us in the ways of the world? How much longer will we writhe and rot in self-pity? When will be the day when we choose the truth, the way, and the life? When will we ask, seek, and knock? When will we bow before him who is mighty to save? Let's pray. Father God, we just come to you this morning to just search our hearts, Father. Search out in us anything that is not from you, anything that separates us from you, Father God. We just pray that you would take that from us, that we would take on your yoke, for we know it is easy to carry and the burden is light. We just pray, Father God, that anyone here or anyone outside of this place who is suffering in silence with depression or anxiety, who is just feeling lost, who is just feeling a sense of hopelessness that there's just nothing left to live for, Father God, I just pray for your presence upon them, that they would just hear your voice and know that there's something more to live for, that they would not take their lives, that they would come into any church and hear your word, Father, and turn and be saved. We love you, Father God. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your cross, and we just pray that we continue to follow, we continue to seek you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.